You ready?
You're listening to Design Yourself, a podcast to help you figure out what it is that you want and then make it happen. I'm Sharon Lepofsky. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 23 of Design Yourself. I am your host, Sharon, and today I want to talk with you all about presence and preparation. But before I jump in, I wanted to share with you all a personal update about the show. I have mentioned, I think as early as even the very first podcast episode, that I had a vision for recording interviews for the podcast. And the idea behind that was that I wanted to have a mix of solo shows where I could be bringing the kinds of tools and ideas that I see really making an impact in my own life and then also for the clients that I serve, but then wanting to bring in other voices so that you could learn from them alongside with me learning from them about how they are leading well-designed lives. How is it that they're actually forging and have forged their own paths? So what I wanted to let you know is that I have officially started recording those episodes, which feels very exciting. So that is definitely happening. And my plan is to start releasing those episodes in early 2017. As some of you guys know, will align with when I am expecting baby number 3. So the plan that I am creating for myself is to have these episodes coming out aligning with those early weeks of newborn haze so that you guys can still be getting the content from Design Yourself and I can have built in a pause for myself in terms of recording. And then, who knows where it will go from there. My vision, which I'm very open to evolving as time goes on, but my vision is absolutely to keep going with the show and probably to have a mix of the interviews and solo shows after that and just kind of see how the spirit moves me. I tend to operate more organically than rigidly of, we've got to alternate every other week or anything like that. But I'm really excited. I think you're going to love the interviews. If you like them half as much as I've enjoyed recording them, you will be in good stead. So anyway, interviews are coming, as is baby number 3. Okay, so for this week, back to this concept of presence and preparation. So the thing that I will start with is this great adage that actually my very first coach said to me that always stuck with me, which is that being present is more important than being prepared. And I'll just say that one more time, let it sink in. Being present is more important than being prepared. And I love that. In fact, I've had two great examples that I'm really living in the here and now that show me how much that shows up. So the first is just in the last few days, we had family in from out of town not staying with us. So they were staying probably about, 45 minutes away from our house. So we wanted to see them, but that meant, frequent travel back and forth with the kids. And I also at the same time had a really good friend in town blocks from where I live. But finding the time to see her was proving difficult because we were so back and forth from this, from visiting with this family. So finally we set a dinner date to cook for her and her parents and her sister. These are people I've known for, this is a friend of mine since preschool. So we go way back. And I knew it was going to be kind of crazy because we'd been back and forth and it was holiday time and, all kinds of things happening. But I also knew that we would love having the chance just to sit down with them and be together. Well, the day that we confirmed that we were going to have dinner that evening, we were on our way back from picking up a Christmas tree. We're thinking nap time is going to come. We still had to do grocery shopping, so it's kind of a tight schedule to pull it all together, but that's, you know, a little bit of our MO. So we weren't too worried. But when we got home, we realized that whereas we thought our refrigerator was on the fritz, it was full on done for. Like, the refrigerator was not working. So now here we are with plans to have people over for dinner, and we have a refrigerator that is not operational. We're emptying everything out of it, putting things into coolers, at the same time getting the kids down for a nap. My dear 4-year-old is resisting said nap. So it was chaotic, to say the least. And you know, the point here is that you can have a plan, right? You can be fully prepared of, well, here's what I'm going to do to get ready for this dinner tonight. And then life comes at you and real things are happening. And that was clearly not something that was going to go the way we had expected it. The dinner, as it turns out, was lovely. We went very easy with spaghetti and bolognese sauce. So we were able to adapt to meet those circumstances. But I think that's where being present comes into play. You know, you can, if you're so attached to the steps that you've planned for, right? I'm prepared. This is what it's going to be. Now let's execute on that plan. You miss by being, when you're not present, you miss the ability to adapt and to shift course. And sometimes it's not as obvious, but even in the case of the dinner example, I mean, we could have said, well, we're still going to do a roast and have to have something that we're marinating for hours and have been ready to serve dinner around midnight. I mean, we could have been like, but that was the plan. this is what we're focused on. But sometimes you have to know when to adapt. And so that's kind of the key, is to be listening for that. And then I'll share on a more of a professional work level. As I've talked about before, I have been working through the relaunch of pointroadstudios.com really since the beginning of the summer. And at that point in time, I was imagining, with really very little understanding of what it means to relaunch a website, I was really imagining that this would be something that, even with my vacations across the summer, by the time Labor Day rolled around, the new site would be launching. And, you know, there were some steps, it's kind of a looser sketch, but some steps for how to move through that process. But what I found as I got into it is, and stayed really present to, well, what's the reason I'm doing this website? And what's really behind this? And am I being attuned to that and how I'm thinking through each step along the way? I realized that the plan had to adapt, or I would ultimately be creating something that was more serving the need that I'd already been doing with my existing website. You know, my business is going strong. I'm not hurting for, I'm not hurting on that front. For me, the shift is really about becoming more of a content platform. And that required me to think through some other pieces, like what was that content going to look like? How was I going to categorize that so it felt intuitive? So all this to say, you've got to stay present to what's really the thing that matters. What's the end objective you're trying to reach for? And also in this moment, in the present here and now, like, what's needed? Like, what's the thing that's going to support you in this moment, support the outcomes you're looking to steward? So anyway, again, on a professional level, and I'm still in that. So website is forthcoming, I think, really soon. So stay tuned. I'll be sure to let you all know. But that, you know, to me, that is being open to the iteration versus just sticking to, well, these are the steps I laid out. I'm prepared for it. So kind of letting go of that. So then that comes, that brings us back, right? So this idea, this phrase, mantra almost for me at this point, of it's more important to be present than prepared. The reason I find that I come back to this so often, and I I have shared it with many, many of my coaching clients because I find the meaning behind it is so universal, even though we all come to it with our own set of idiosyncrasies and habits that we're in. But the reason I think that it is so universal is that we can all identify with this desire to feel prepared. Like, we've got this, we can do this. It's human. Who wants to go in feeling like, I don't know what I'm going to do? There's something so scary. Another word I might use is vulnerable, about showing up when you don't feel prepared. You know, there's a complete letting go of control in that moment that for many of us can hijack us and send us down a path where we're not operating from our best selves. And yet, if you can remember that the thing that's actually more important than the preparation, more important than the control, is actually just being there, just being present, then holding on to that stance, that ability to fully be in yourself, to have your spirit residing where your body is, to, you know, have your heart and your head and your feet all aligned straight up and down. And that's the thing that really, really matters most. And when we can tap into that as the more important thing, even when we might not have the perfect level of preparation, which most people struggle to define, you know, think if you're seeking preparation, we're often seeking and more of it and more of it. And yes, please, some more of it. But if you can tap into how important presence is, then that will minimize that desire for that kind of control and let you just embrace, okay, but here I am. And if I'm here, that's something. In fact, if I'm here, that's a lot. So that's kind of the space to play in and focus on that. So there are really two key things that I see being embedded in this idea of it's more important to be present than prepared. The first is really something I've been getting at, right? It's this letting go of control. If you are embracing it's more important to be present than prepared, there's a little bit of an acknowledgement that, to be present, I might need to let go of some of that control. And then the second thing is that you are really going to embrace being alert to what's happening right in front of you. That's a basic way of imagining and understanding presence. So when it comes to letting go of control, you know, I can talk about that in, you know, intellectual concept, but it's not always easy for us to do in practice, right? If we are used to, I even find myself as I'm talking about this, my hands kind of gripping, like I want to hold on to control. Like this control thing's been serving me for a long time. So I think if you find yourself in that place, one thing that can help is just beginning to unpack a little bit of why is it that I'm wanting to hold on to control? And I'm not saying each of these questions is going to be something that you need to work through, but I'll offer up just a few that I might go to if I were in a coaching scenario with someone. And of course, in a coaching scenario, I'd have the benefit of hearing your answers and adapting my questions. So like I said, think of this as just a handful of questions. And if just one of them speaks to you, answer that one. And if hearing them sparks another question, beautiful, answer that one. That's you coaching yourself, which clients are really great at doing once you get into this process, which I really love being a witness to. But here are some of the things that might help you if you find yourself really wanting to hold on to control, to resist the idea of letting go of it. So first thing I might ask is something like, what's important? You know, what's important about holding on to control? What's important about controlling the situation here? There's usually so much offered to us when we actually get into the value we're holding around it, which is really what importance is getting at. You know, another way to think about that is, what value am I holding that's threatened by letting go of control? Different nuance on the same idea. You might also explore, what could be offered to me in letting go of control? What could be offered to me in letting go of control? Another way you might come at this is to really think about, what's the converse of what I'm wanting here? So I'm suggesting the converse of holding on to control is letting go of it. But it's never ceases to amaze me that when you actually hold the question of, what's the opposite of holding on to control? What's the opposite of holding on to control? Usually a new idea or question or concept will emerge. Like for me, when I think about the opposite of holding on to control, the phrase that comes up for me is embracing ease. Like if I'm holding on to control, I'm feeling tight and gripped and clenched up, like shoulders back and just holding a lot of tension in them. And the opposite of it is just, big breath, open chest. I'm embracing ease. And so for you, it will very likely be something different because we're all unique human beings. But if you can start to see what's the opposite of the desire to hold on to the control, then you can usually look to cultivate that thing. Like I can look to cultivate embracing ease, which might come through, you know, deep breathing. It might come through making spaghetti over marinating some, you know, and making some complex dinner with umpteen steps. So embrace ease. So, you know, the thing about understanding what's the opposite is it gives you something else to focus on in the positive versus just focusing on, well, how do I start letting go of control, which may set off its own triggers for you and level of resistance for you. So that kind of question helps you get at it in the reverse. There are more questions for sure that you could look at around letting go of control, but I'll leave it at that for now. The real point here is to play with, you know, as you're going to step into embracing, it's more important to be present than being prepared. Understanding how you let go of control or how you embrace ease, or really in this instance, fill in the blank on whatever the opposite for you is of letting go of control, that is going to help steward you along the way. And then that second piece, which I had mentioned, being alert to what's happening right in front of you, really look for, how do I bring attention to the here and now? And there's many ways that we can do this. You might do this from in a somatic way, right? So thinking about, how do I bring my body's attention into the room? This can be a simple practice of taking a breath before you enter into any new endeavor. You know, it might be, okay, I'm switching from email now into opening my Photoshop, taking a breath and bringing attention. It could be, I have my to-do list, but before I move from, oh, I checked this one off, and before I move to the next task, I'm going to take a breath. So it could be a breathing exercise that allows you to center your body back into the room. When I'm in meeting situations, especially in person, but even when it's a virtual scenario, one thing I like to do is flip my palms up towards the ceiling. And this is a receiving posture, and I would just contrast it to, if I have my hands down, which I recognize for myself is a more natural stance, my hands are down, that's a more grounded posture. I might have them resting on my knees, which feels very grounded to myself. I might have them just kind of grounded facing the floor, which feels a little bit more grounded, tied to the whole universe around me. But I like to flip them up into a receiving posture when I'm in meetings, because I find this brings my physical presence very open to not just what's happening inside of me or my own grounding, but into receiving what's happening in front of me. So that might be something that you play with, is palms up and see what you receive. The other thing about being alert to what's happening right in front of you is you might, especially if you're in a team dynamic where you find you can get caught off guard, see if there's someone who's in the room who might be a support for you. So someone that you trust who can help make sure that you don't get sidetracked if you find that that's a habit that you're in, or don't get so, where you might get so upset or off track if things veer off course. You know, sit next to that person, have a code word, I'm kind of laughing, imagining someone like throwing a piece of crumpled paper across the room at you, but like figure out what your sign is where they might be able to bring your attention back. You know, can they IM you if you're in a culture where people have their laptops up at meetings, but just something to keep you on track. So you might ask somebody else's help in doing that. Really at its core, ask yourself this: what will support me in being alert to what's happening right in front of me? What's going to support me in doing that? You will come up with, I know, because you are brilliant in your own right. You will come up with many options that might work for you, and just play with them and test them out. Point is, be alert to what's happening right in front of you. That is really the key. Now, it's more important to be present than to be prepared. Yes. And I have found over the years an addendum that I hold to this wisdom. And that is this: everyone requires a different level of preparation to be present. What do I mean by that? Well, we've just been talking about, with letting go of control and just really being alert to what's happening in the here and now, of wanting to be adaptive. But there are times where we can actually control and plan for the circumstances. And we, you know, like I said, you will get knocked off of that. It won't be the same every time. That's just not how the world spins on its axis. You know, things change, and we see the need to adapt. But there are plenty of times that I have witnessed for myself and for others where actually things can unfold largely to plan. And so ask yourself, what could I be doing to prepare for this thing that I'm anticipating that's going to support me in being my most present self? So I can remember back when I was early on in stepping into a sales and marketing executive role, there was this big meeting that happened typically every other week, reporting up to all the senior most people. So these were, C-suite level executives, about the state and health of my business, the predictions. I barely knew which way it was up. I was taking in, a new team, a new set of teams, some products I knew, but new products that were being launched. And also functionally, I'd never done this kind of role before. So learning all the language and the data, let alone kind of the art and intuitive feeling of how to make smart judgments on how to understand what was happening and interpret from that. So anyway, I had this big meeting, and if I went into that with, having spent half a day combing through the data, thinking through my own storyline of it, when I walked in, I still had all of the, I'm still learning, I'm not, but I knew I had put forth my best understanding of the situation with what I knew, imperfect though that was, learning mode that I was in. But having done that work allowed me to be open to and really receive feedback, to understand the insights that were being shared with me in a way that really helped me grow in the role. So for me to be present in that meeting, ideally, I was having this roughly half day's worth of time spent getting deep on the data myself. Didn't mean it always happened in the half day right before I went into the meeting. Usually it happened in the 24 hours preceding, because it was such a frequent clip that I wanted the real-time data. Sometimes it meant staying late. Sometimes it didn't. But having that time helped me to be present. Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't sometimes get a phone call from one of these C-suite executives off the cuff asking my opinion on something. And that's again where I think if you can tap into the letting go of control and being present in the here and now, like ultimately it's a mindset of can I tap into being present and really receiving and adapting in this moment. But when there were moments I could plan for it, like a meeting that I knew happened every other week on my calendar like clockwork, there were things I could do that helped steward me on that path. Another example of this, which perhaps you all can relate to, is when you're doing something new. Usually the two triggers for wanting to grasp at preparation are nervousness, which may or may not come from something that's new. It could be. And also when we're doing something for the first time or one of the early times of doing it, where our level of comfort, our level of agility with it is just lower. And so I think to that end, you know, I always think about if I'm teaching content for the first time, my preference is to look through the content, to, you know, turn it over in my own way of learning it and adapting it. If I'm using slides, I want to go through those slides many times until the point that it feels like I've taught this many times over, so that when I get up to actually teach it for the first time, I feel like I'm owning it in a deeper way. That is my preference. Now, that is not always the time horizon I have to do it, or I'm working with others to deliver content and it requires us to be working together, and I can put out my requests and set my own boundaries on what I want to make sure happens, but they have their own preferences and I've got to adapt and be a team player and still remember that while I may love to have my own preparation in order, my desired preparation is really at its heart tied to my own mindset that I'm in. Like, this is what perfect preparation looks like. If I do X, then I will get my best outcome. That's my mindset. And I can adapt that. I could adapt the mindset of, well, this is the preparation that's required to get us from here to there. That's my rigid Sharon perspective on it. And instead say, I'm working on a team and it's more important that we're functioning as a team than that we follow my desired path from here to there. If I can shift into that mindset, which I'm not saying is always the easiest thing, like we like our habits, we do, that's human. But if we can shift and adapt, we're usually getting to a better outcome. And that's for me when it comes really back to this earlier adage of it's more important to be present than be prepared. When I can come back to that, it can usually shock me out of my own thought habits and my own desire for my routine and my kind of preparation, and remind me that it's way more important that I'm being attuned to the here and now than that I'm following a path of preparation that I've designed. So that is what I wanted to share with you all today. I hope you find it helpful. This idea of it's more important to be present than be prepared is something that, as I mentioned, I've been holding now for, gosh, probably over 5 years. And it's one of those things I just always come back to and always find I can get something new out of. So even as I'm saying it, I'm smiling. This is a piece of wisdom that still lights me up. So I hope it will light you up too. Before I close, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you will know this is the part of the show where I'm often asking for your help in getting the word out on the show. So if you enjoy the show, please consider subscribing to it on iTunes or wherever you do your listening. Share the show with a friend. Leave a written review on iTunes or again, SoundCloud or the many myriad of places where one can do such things. It really does make a difference in helping me get the word out on the show. And I am very grateful for your help in doing so. If you are interested in learning more about what I do or dropping me a direct line, you can do so over at pointroadstudios.com. That's pointroadstudios.com. And get on over to the original site now. It's going to be so retro before you know it. And if you've got questions or ideas for future shows, please send me a tweet over at Point Road Studios, which is just a slight adaptation. It's point like a pencil point, and then RD, as in I'm abbreviating road, and then studios with an S. So you can feel free to hit me up over that way. Next week, I will be back with you all talking about the subject of imperfection and all of us embracing it. So if you've got thoughts on that or questions that you want to make sure that I answer on that, please let me know. And otherwise, I am wishing all of you a beautiful close to November and start to December. And until next time, please remember that there is nothing stopping you. So go on ahead and get after whatever it is that you really want.